Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and everything's actually working!
Maybe. We'll see.
We didn't have to, like, spend 40 minutes before the show trying to make it work! It's amazing!
And that's precisely what worries me.
I noticed that the sound was a little sketchy there for a second, and during the open, I actually said I should have run a speed test because the internet's probably going to die. But this is where we live, okay? Like, we don't know what to do unless something goes wrong.
That's right.
And
we have plenty that can go wrong.
I had, before we started this, of all the random things to have, I had a bowl of cereal and a glass of lemonade, which Avery made, so I'm all perked up because I've had some nice sugary lemonade. I feel pretty good.
Nice.
So I'm in a good mood. What's up with you, sir, and what's on the show this week?
On the show, we have lots of news, actually, because it's been a while since we've done a show. And so lots of Xbox news, lots of PlayStation news about what we can expect from these summer gaming conventions, news about E3, news about Gamescom. And so we've got lots to talk about. Plus a couple of games here and there. Significant because we've been off for a little bit, not planned, but work just got out of hand for me and just crazy stuff. I was actually in Memphis traveling this week, and we almost were able to do a show from there, and it just didn't quite work out. So back home now doing a show from here.
I'm curious to hear about that because you sent me some pictures and said, this is what I'm doing. And I wanted more information, and you got sucked into meetings and whatnot. Yeah. So I'm curious to hear about that because that looked like fun.
Yeah, it was fun as much as the fortunate thing about my job is I really like my job, and so that helps. So even when there's a lot of work to be done, hopefully a good chunk of the time at least is pretty enjoyable. And this was. Even though the circumstances weren't great. So a little background, I don't even know how much I've told you. I don't think I've mentioned it on the show at all, but the school I teach for, we have many campuses, but our base campus is in Memphis, where I lived for a long time, where we did this show from for a long time on and on. Our studios at our main campus flooded about a month and a half ago now. Which fortunately didn't ruin any of our gear, or not much of our gear. It did ruin a little bit, kind of fortunately, because insurance is going to help us replace some stuff, which is nice. But most of the gear was fine, so that part of it was good news, but it totally ruined the floors and the bottom of the walls. We had like 3 or 4 inches of water standing in the studio space. And so we're having to replace all that, and that's taken some time, longer than I had anticipated. And so my original plan was to travel sometime relatively soon to reset up the studio after everything was fixed. And then it became very apparent that they weren't going to meet the deadline to get everything fixed. And so then my trip turned into go and build a studio for the rest of the semester.
We should tell people, because I know, but not a lot of people know. You have a master's degree in studio design. That's something that you actually have a degree in? That's a thing that you do?
Yes.
and so when I make grand proclamations about the fact that we're going to have a space someday and it's going to have all this cool stuff, no, I'm not joking, because he knows how to do all that.
Yeah.
So,
That's kind of my world. And obviously, I enjoy doing that. Recording studios are awesome. Like, what's not to like about a recording studio, right?
Yeah.
So recording studios are awesome. And so, but still, it's a lot of work to set one up over a weekend for the purposes of getting students some space to work and all that kind of stuff. And so that's what I was doing. And it took up a big chunk of my time that I also didn't have to put towards other things of my job, all of which are still happening. And so now I'm playing catch up on everything. And so I am actually working right now. I've kind of teased to you before we started that I'm on a different camera. If you're watching the stream on Patreon, big thanks to the Patreon guys. We'll get you in just a second. I am on a pretty nice camera right now. I'm usually on our, $100 Logitech webcam. Right now I'm on a $800 DSLR camera, which is
woo!
Super fun because I'm needing to test out some of the gear. So I'm running that through a $500 switcher that's sitting next to me as well, running that into the computer for the stream. And so I've got a lot of gear right now that I'm playing with for the purposes of testing it for some broadcast stuff that we've got coming up. And so I have the gear in my house, and so we're going to use it for the show.
See, now I'm really curious about switcher, because I've been begging to ask people at my church, which you have been very kind to donate some of your time to and help me with that. I've been begging them for years for a broadcast switcher.
Yeah.
Nah, we don't need that. Yes, you do. And so now I'm really curious about the switcher that you have sitting beside you, because that's really cool.
Yeah, well, we won't get too technical right now, but it's an ATEM Mini Pro, which is, again, a pretty entry-level video switcher, but really good. Just a nice little hardware switcher. It has four HDMI inputs, and then you can also connect it to a computer to load in some media on it to play back from it as well. It has all the transitions and stuff kind of built into it. You can broadcast directly from it. It has a network port built into it. And so you can broadcast directly from the switcher without ever having to plug it into a computer. It's a completely standalone device.
Nice.
Has an HDMI out so that you can have a monitor set up to use as a switcher monitor of your all of your inputs and be able to cue them up and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's a pretty slick device. It's probably going to be in my house for the summer, and so we'll probably be making some use of it this summer.
So Patreon guys, I want you to hear everything that he just said for the last 30 seconds. And I want to reiterate to you that we love tech, and we especially love hardware. So the more money that you give us to put into the show, it will get put in. Because what's going to happen is we'll use this stuff for a couple of shows, and then we'll go, okay, yeah, we got to have it.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you'll send us money, we'll spend it on cool stuff, because we love hardware.
Yes. Really quickly, just a warning for you and for anybody that's watching on Patreon. There's a pretty good chance that my video is just going to disappear at some point, though, because right now the camera's on battery power. I've got another battery sitting here waiting for this one to die. This one that's in here is fully charged, but I have no idea how long a charge lasts. That's part of why I'm using it for the show right now, is to kind of stress test it to see how long I get out of a charge on the battery. So my video suddenly disappears and you see, I don't know what you'll see, probably just black screen, maybe something from the switcher. That's why. And I'll switch out the battery and we'll keep going. The audio will obviously continue. But just a warning that I might disappear at some point.
Just so you know, I think the audio is absolutely perfect. I think the switcher may have your video off by like a split second.
Yeah.
It's not much. It's just a little.
Yep. There is an audio compensation in the switcher, but I'm not going through the switcher for audio. And so, yeah, I can tell just by watching the video. I'll have to align it in post, and people that are watching this will probably never notice. But for you, it's probably pretty strange right now. So,
I'm used to it. Like, I knew exactly what it was, because this is like we say again, this is what we do. And I'm geeked out right now because I really love playing with new tech.
Me too.
So this is something that we really, really enjoy. Folks, if you want to make us happy, give us new tech.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. That's it.
Yeah. I develop a lot of online classes, another big part of my job, which I really enjoy too. It's super fun, but I've been in desperate need of a better camera. So this camera sitting in front of me may be living in my house for quite a while. And so we'll see.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's definitely a good time. So all that said, that's not what we're here to talk about, but we do love tech and tech is fun. And so we are here to talk about video games. Before we do that, because we've mentioned Patreon guys a whole bunch of times already. Big thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. We love you guys. We appreciate your support each and every week. If you want to support us on Patreon, one of the perks right now is that you can see us. So you can both see me in more high def. I don't know if that's appealing. And you can see Jamie's ever-growing beard, which has now gotten to like the caterpillar mustache stage, which I'm digging. So, you know.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm hanging on as long as I possibly can.
It's officially to scraggly, man. That is,
yeah.
That is a scraggly beard.
I'm not really a huge fan, and I'm not sure how much longer it's gonna last. I'm trying to get through the month, so there's a possibility that maybe you can get here in the next couple. Because that would be some good photography if we could, get a shot together. That's what I'm trying for, but I'm thinking I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
Because the most annoying thing, I can deal with everything else, but I'm so tired of getting beverages in my beard. In the mustache, actually.
Yeah, the mustache
really
is the worst.
Bothers me.
Yeah,
I can't. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah,
because like whatever you drink gets in the mustache, and like you can't dry the thing, and so it's just there.
Yep.
You know, and you like wipe it out. And it's I hate it.
Yeah, I trim the mustache pretty often. Both. Because of that, it just gets obnoxious. Like, once it starts getting in my mouth, I'm not interested in that. And the sexy psychic hates it. she's perfectly fine with the beard. She hates the mustache. I can't do the beard without a mustache. That's just weird. So I have to keep it trimmed down for the purposes of the sexy sidekick.
See, I've been told that it's weird, but I think I would be much more comfortable if I just did the Amish thing.
Yeah, and, I know. I would too, honestly, probably. But it's, yeah. I'm not into that, so I'm gonna keep it the mustache, but keeping it trimmed up to appease the sexy sidekick.
I'm glad that you've got a good job that gets you all this gear and all this stuff, because I'm working like a dog as usual, just trying to do one of my 18 jobs at a given time. But when I have not been working the last 2 weeks, something happened in my life, and I can't really explain it. And it happens occasionally on this show. You and I both do it. We go on benders of different things. We'll go 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month where we read a lot. We'll go 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month where we watch a lot of movies, and that's the thing that we do. Or we'll do that with games, and I'm in that with games. I'm not watching TV. I'm not doing a lot of stuff. I'm just, if I'm not working, I'm playing games. And on the forefront of the gaming list this last month has been The Witcher. And I have to tell you that because I'm a completionist, I mentioned on the last show that I've been playing The Witcher 1, and I keep thinking I'm going to get bored and just move to The Witcher 3, which is like what 80 zillion people are screaming at the screen right now. Just open me, done with it! But the original game is really, really, really good. And I know The Witcher 3 is better. I know The Witcher 3 is better. But the first one is really good. And now I'm curious for the second one because I know it's better. And now I'm really curious about the progression of this title. If I remember right, you're a Next Generation guy, correct? You're a Star Trek Next Generation guy.
Yes.
Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you an analogy. If we had a holodeck, which they had on the Next Generation.
Yep.
If we had a holodeck, this would be the first world that I would beam myself into. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I have said it a couple of times on the show, but I know now that it's even more true. It does everything that Fable tried to do and failed. That's what The Witcher is. And it's just, it's fabulous. And I'm so far into it at this point that I started watching the TV show and I looked in my Audible account and lo and behold, I had the first book. So I started reading that. So I'm totally ensconced in The Witcher at this point.
Yeah.
And Audible had a sale a couple days ago, and a couple more of the books were on sale, so I bought those. I'm totally digging the Witcher universe, and I don't know if it's because it does what we said Fable was supposed to do so well back in the day, or what, but I love the entire universe. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I 100% agree. It's wonderful. The books are apparently great, and I'm so glad that you can now testify to that. The TV show was good. We talked about it quite a bit when it came out. I can't get over Henry Cavill. Is that his name?
Yeah, Henry Cavill. Yeah,
it just doesn't click with me as Geralt. Still, it just is strange to me that he's both Superman and Geralt, and it just. But the TV show is really pretty good. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to season two.
Can I say to you, if you read a book, if you read the first book, and went back and watched the TV show, is infinitely better because the first book is a bunch of short stories. Like, it's two or three or four different short stories of Geralt the Witcher. And, like, four or five of the episodes, they took directly from that first book.
Yeah.
It was to the point where I watched the episode where Yennefer was looking for, or Geralt was looking for the djinn, and he went fishing and he caught it and Yennefer took it. Remember that?
Yep, yep.
And that's actually one of the stories in the book. So it's very faithful. The Netflix series is very faithful to the books. And I have a lot more respect for it at this point after reading one of the books. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great world, and I'm thrilled you're playing it. We poke fun at you for being, you know, a decade behind on games, which yet again you are. But
yeah,
if you're gonna be, you know, 12 or 13 years behind, The Witcher is a really, really solid franchise to be 12 or 13 years behind on, and I'm looking forward to you getting caught up because The Witcher 3 is phenomenal. I've heard The Witcher 2 is great. I've put a chunk of time into The Witcher 2, more than I've put into the original game. We've talked about that a billion times, so we don't have to get into that now. A little bit of news on that. I don't even think this is in the show notes, but it was announced this week that The Witcher 3 is coming to PlayStation 5 later in the year.
I did see that
version of The Witcher 3, and so games that just get repackaged and put out on next generation consoles keeps happening. But again, The Witcher 3 is one of the best games that's come out in the past decade. And so, okay, you know, I, I would love to say I'll go back and play it. I know I won't because I don't have time to, honestly, unless we just are getting paid to play video games. It's not going to happen. But for anybody who's never played it before, that'll be a great opportunity too, because it's really, really fantastic.
If we ever do get paid to play video games, part of the reason that I'm still playing the first one is that I'm realizing that The Witcher, I don't know if they intended it, but it's very much, the game is set up very much like the novels. And now that I'm, you know, like I'm three chapters into the first game and each chapter is like 10 hours.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm three chapters into the first game and I'm realizing if I skip a game, I'm probably doing myself a disservice. Because it's very clearly designed to be an entire package. They do that with the save files. It's just like Mass Effect was when you finish the first game, then you load up your save for the second, and so on and so forth. And so I really want to skip forward, but I know if I do, I'll regret it. And to be honest with you, all of the stuff that we complained about with the first game, I'm not having an issue with. And part of the reason that I'm not having an issue with is that I've chosen to use a guide expressly for the purpose of, okay, don't do this quest right now, because it's actually built to do it in this time period, in this order. And if you do it that way, the game is not buggy. And I talked about it in the last show. Well, the mistake that they made is they went too wide open. If you start just picking up quests and doing it, the game bugs out. It's very much designed to do the quests in a certain order, but they don't force you to pick them up like that. And so that's when the bugs start. And when you do it in the correct order, I've had very, very, very few bugs.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, I'm pumped about it. I'm pumped to pick up Spider-Man sometime again soon. We did get a chunk of that in, but like I said,
ooh,
I haven't really touched it.
We got... We probably don't have time, but we gotta. I want to discuss just a second,
yep,
on that
for sure.
Spider-Man, whoo, that's really good. it's just really good.
It's just really
we talked about it before. I love comic books, and because I've been around, I think you have more respect for comic books than you did when we started. It's a video game comic book. They built it just like a comic book, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most wonderful thing.
Yeah, it still boggles my mind how well executed it is. It's just really, really polished. Like, it just feels good. The gameplay feels good. The combat feels good. The story progressions feels good. The pacing feels good. Like, it's just a really well put together game.
And it's to the point that I'm starting to wonder, and I haven't actually found it anywhere to check this, but I'm actually starting to wonder if the actors are the actors from the Spider-Man cartoon that we watched in the 90s. Because the more that I listen to it, I'm like, are these the people? Because that was the last Spider-Man product that was really well put together, was that cartoon series that went like six seasons. And I'm really starting to wonder if it's the same actors, because I'm starting to hear it in my head. And I've been digging around trying to find it on the internet, and I haven't. But man, the game is so well put together.
It is.
And I'm happy about it, but I'm also terrified for Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Because you're playing Miles next.
Yes.
And if it's not on this level, I'm going to be frustrated.
Yeah, that's fair. That said, everything I've heard about Miles Morales is that it's right there with it. That is, it's a very much in the same vein. So I'm really pumped to get to that. We're on the last DLC, which I'm going to finish, and then we'll get to Miles Morales, and so we'll be talking about that pretty soon. I did look up the cast, and everybody's way too young to have been a part of the original cast or that comic book cast. But this I didn't realize. This blows my mind. Mary Jane is played by Laura Bailey in Spider-Man, who is also what's her face from The Last of Us. My goodness, what am I spacing her name for? Abby.
Yeah,
she's Abby from The Last of Us, which is very different characters. I had no idea that it was the same person.
Man, she is a flawless Mary Jane.
She's really good, and I would have never guessed that she would also be Abby in The Last of Us, which is, yeah, just crazy to me. So, awesome. Just fantastic. It's great. So, there you go.
Like, I'm totally in love with Mary Jane Watson. I have been my whole life. I make no apologies for it. And she's a perfect Mary Jane Watson. I mean, she's just great. And that there's on the packaging side of things, part of the reason that it works is that the animations are just, it doesn't matter if it's a cutscene, it doesn't matter if it's in game, it's some of the best animation I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
and it's so good.
Yeah, there's just nothing about it that doesn't feel polished. Like, it's just so well executed. So. Anyway, we will move past that, but we will definitely be talking more Spider-Man in the near future.
I have to tell you, before we get off the stuff we're doing, Avery is here, and one thing that Avery insisted that I do while she's here is watch WandaVision. So we have been nice. Watching WandaVision on Disney Plus. That's really good. Have you seen that?
We did watch through it. I thoroughly enjoyed WandaVision. I thought it was pretty cool. It's weird, but it's really fun. It was really fun because it's a very different feel on Marvel Universe stuff. You know, like, it's not just like flying and blasting people the whole time. It gets to plenty of that, right. But it's, you know, a very different kind of approach to the Marvel world, which is very, very cool, and made for a good TV show.
Yeah, I'm digging that, and I think I. Okay, before we get to games, I have to ask. You have a kid, so you're not going to have the appropriate answer here. Other than WandaVision and The Mandalorian, I can't find a real reason to subscribe to Disney Plus. Like, I love all the Marvel stuff, I love all the Disney stuff, but I've seen all that stuff.
Sure.
And so I actually borrowed Disney Plus from my friend Aaron while Avery's here because I can't find a real reason to subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Do you have a kid, yeah. So I understand it's not the same thing. But how do you feel about that?
The little girl is literally in the other room watching Mickey Mouse right now. So we wear the crap out of Disney Plus. It's getting used every day in our household. So to me, that's fair. That's like a perfectly valid reason. But I would say the Mandalorian and the Marvel stuff also is good enough reason. Apparently, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is pretty good too. I haven't started watching that yet, but that's up all now. Right. And so they're going to they have kind of just this schedule of putting out Marvel stuff that there's not going to be many gaps, you know, that they're going to constantly kind of have something new there. And that with, you know, Pixar stuff, which is super fun. And with old school Star Wars is really nice just to have that in a place when I'm ready to go back to it, which is about once a year that I go back and watch all the Star Wars movies. And so, you know, for me, it's a no-brainer because I have a kid. If you don't have a kid, I can see where it's a little bit more of a question. But The Mandalorian is so stinking good, and WandaVision was really good, which gives me hopes for the rest of the Marvel stuff that they're working on. Not everything's going to be a hit, but they're working on, you know, whatever, 18 different Star Wars projects. Some of those are surely going to suck, but I didn't have high hopes for The Mandalorian, and I fell in love with that show, and so I'm pretty optimistic that at least some of those are going to be really good, too, and so Yeah, that's kind of my take on Disney Plus. I don't regret it right now.
I think I may steal some Patreon money and subscribe to Disney Plus because I have to watch The Mandalorian and I have not seen it yet.
It's
so,
really, really good.
So all that being said, we do have show notes, so let's get to those.
Yes, and we're starting with Microsoft. We got a lot of Xbox news today. That's all pretty good stuff for Microsoft. Microsoft is making some moves and doing some things, really positioning themselves in a lot of the ways that we talked about. We're going to actually start with baseball. Because opening day was just the other day, and so we're in baseball season now. But this is actually a big, big story, regardless of the game that it is. The game that it is happens to be MLB The Show 21. But regardless of what game it was, any game that was in this situation that's decently well-known was going to make a splash. And the news is that MLB The Show 21, which has been a PlayStation exclusive for ever, because it's a PlayStation, or it's a Sony-published title, and still is a Sony-published title, which makes all this even more interesting, is coming to Xbox on launch day. And so we'll be out on Xbox One and Xbox Series S/X on launch day. And on top of that, the even bigger news is that it will also launch day one on Game Pass on consoles. And so if you've got Game Pass, you get MLB The Show, which is the baseball game. There's not another baseball game right now. That's it. That's if you want a Major League Baseball game, it's MLB The Show. You now get that day one on Game Pass, which is pretty nuts. And it's a Sony-published game. This is still, it comes out of the whatever studio, but Sony studio, a Sony-published game that's launching day one on Xbox and Game Pass.
I know we got a lot of guys that don't play MLB The Show. You play it every year because you're a baseball freak. And because I know you, I've kind of turned into a baseball freak, although I haven't turned it on yet this year, but it's coming. and I'd say all that to say this is a huge deal. Huge, huge deal. I don't know what this means other than we were correct a couple of years ago when we started saying that you're going to see every game on every console at some point.
Yep.
And I think that's proving to be the case because we have not only Horizon on the PC now, but Days Gone is coming.
Yep.
We've got MLB on Game Pass. We've got Resident Evil on Game Pass, which is going to be out in about 2 weeks. And so we've got a lot of games from a lot of different companies on Microsoft services, which... That's what they want to do. They want to be a service company.
Yes, they absolutely do. And this is the way to do it. And I've seen a lot of takes online, like on Twitter and stuff, of like, oh, man, how did Sony lose this? Or what a big win for Microsoft. And let me be clear, it is a big win for Microsoft. It's a huge deal for Microsoft. But Sony's got to be benefiting from it. They're still publishing this game. It's not like they're forced to give Microsoft this game. Sony's a winner here too. Like their game is getting out to a bigger audience. And that's the thing. When we talk about like the Bethesda acquisition and what's that going to mean for Bethesda games in the future, we're kind of getting a taste of that right now. If it makes sense to publish it on multiple platforms, it doesn't matter if the publisher now is a console manufacturer, they're going to put it out on whatever platforms makes the most sense to make them the most bang for their buck.
Let me be clear, ladies and gentlemen. Sony is not losing on this deal. Microsoft paid them so much money to... I've been scouring the internet to try to figure that out.
I'm really curious to what this business deal is. I haven't been able to find anything on it. But yeah, there's an agreement here that Sony's obviously doing okay with, at least enough that they felt it was worth it to give over exclusivity for whatever compensation they're getting.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of world discussion about big tech and the way things have been going the last few months with the three big tech people, And I say that to say that by the time we get to the end of the show notes, I think we're going to realize that Microsoft is working towards and getting to the idea of being a game behemoth. I mean, I'm looking around trying to figure out how much longer it's going to be before they try to buy Valve. Yes. I that's where we're going.
Yeah.
Because they're just buying stuff.
I would not be remotely surprised to see that headline. So we got one of those headlines coming up. We'll talk about it here in a little bit. But not nearly to the level of Valve. But to hear a headline of Microsoft is in, you know, negotiations with Valve for a takeover, whatever, I would totally buy it at this point. I don't know who's, I would be shocked if Microsoft is looking to buy Sony or Nintendo, right? That's the only ones that if, like, that popped up, I'd be like, oh, wow, that's a little, and maybe not even Sony that much. It's just Nintendo being so weird, you know? Like, I would have a hard time seeing that would happen.
Nintendo's the only company on the planet that Microsoft can say, here's $8 billion or whatever the number is, and they'd be like, yeah, we're good, thanks.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's ever going to happen. But I think everybody else is fair game.
And I could easily see this very cooperative, synergetic relationship between Sony and Microsoft going forward, where Sony continues to do, you know, their console thing, that they continue to do their first-party titles that will at least some time be first-party before launching on other platforms or whatever. Maybe not then, but whatever. And Microsoft being leaning heavily into this service stuff starts backing off from the console game, and Game Pass shows up on PlayStation consoles in the future. And that's what Microsoft does, is they provide this, you know, kind of Valve-like, different than what Valve is, obviously, different than Steam, but providing this service that becomes a no-brainer that you just have to have. You can't be a PC gamer and not have Steam. Granted, you don't pay for Steam as a service, but that's, you know, that's just ingrained in PC gaming at this point. I think there's going to be a point where that same thing is true of Game Pass, maybe both on the PC in the console, but definitely on the console. If you've got an Xbox console, you're dumb not to have Game Pass. But maybe even if you have a PlayStation, you're dumb not to have Game Pass in the not so distant future. And everybody kind of wins from that, you know. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if that's what ends up happening.
And I've thought about this the last couple of days, because I'm looking around my house trying to figure out what I can trim. Like, what can I get rid of? What can I adjust? And I'm looking at Game Pass, and I'm like, I can't do that. Because even if I only play one game a month, which the last month has been The Witcher, and I haven't really played anything else, but even if I only use Game Pass once every couple of months, it's $10 and like 66 cents a month after tax. We have to have it.
Yeah.
Like, even if I go a month and don't use it, it's a no-brainer.
And to make that point even further, our next story in the show notes is the games that have just come or are coming soon to Game Pass. I just wanted to hit these while we were talking about it, because I knew that's where this conversation was going. Outriders, which is this big deal title that just released and has all kinds of server issues. We're not going to get into all that to show, but they've been struggling. But apparently, outside of that, it's kind of a fun multiplayer, whatever game. But big deal, Yakuza 6 is on there. Empire of Sin, which is a game we looked at E3 last year before, that we were really interested in. Apparently, it kind of gave mediocre reviews, but whatever, still on Game Pass. Star Wars Squadrons, which is big new Star Wars game on Game Pass. But this is the one I installed this one yesterday. Octopath Traveler is on Game
Pass.
Like, Nier Automata is on Game Pass. Like, all of a sudden, it's like the place to be for RPG fans. And it's, if you play sports games even a little bit, EA is on Game Pass, and so Madden and FIFA and everything. I think NBA 2K is on Game Pass, and now MLB The Show is on Game Pass. Like, if you play sports games, it's, you know, $10 or $15 a month or whatever, and you get all the sports games and done. You know, like, it's just crazy. It's a no-brainer. It's wild to me. It is the first service that I really think in the gaming world is rival to what like Netflix is in the TV and movie world, right? Like it's the first service that's really doing that at a similar level. That's really going to shake up the game industry to the point that, you know, subscription based models are going to be even more the norm in the future. But this is the one that's made it, not like all the ones that we've seen until now. You know, you get PlayStation Plus, you get a couple of free games each month, which those are great. We'll talk about those if we have time. But this is just massive catalog, lots of old games and lots of day one releases. And just, yeah, it's nuts.
Okay, so let's back up for a second to even further make the point. You've just said you install Octopath, and I saw that in the show notes, and I said to myself, well, I have to install that. But the reason I think it's interesting is for the fact that you have a Switch. You have Octopath on the Switch.
I don't.
And the... Do you not?
No, I thought never
you
paid for it on the Switch.
Okay.
I played the demo.
I played
a chunk of it because it just was a time-limited demo, and so I don't remember how long it was. So I played a decent chunk of it because of that. But I never bought the full game, and I always wanted to, but they never put it on sale. And just $60 is a lot of money to pay for a game. I've gotten better about that, but that was a couple of years ago, and so whatever. But now, it's free. Not free, but it's part of my subscription to this service that I play a lot of other games on, and it's just like, oh yeah, now I'm going to definitely play that.
And see, they got you, because you to say the words, it's free!
Exactly! It's free. The brilliance of a subscription model. Like, I give you $10 a month, you give me free games. It's how it works in my head. Obviously, that's not how it actually works. I pay you $10 a month, and you pay me back for my $10 a month with access to games. But in my head is, oh, I don't have to go out and buy this game. And I say it that way, again, because of the brilliance of a subscription model that's worth paying for, is that it's a game I've wanted to play and that I've had, you know, opportunities to go out and buy, and I just haven't pulled the trigger on it because I'm always playing something else or I'm waiting for it to go on sale more or whatever it is. And now, who cares, right? And I don't know how long it's going to be on Game Pass. And that's another thing with Game Pass. It's like stuff goes on and off again, just like Netflix. And so now I'm like, okay, I need to play Octopath. And I probably need to start playing it relatively soon because at some point it's not going to be on Game Pass anymore. And so they get you even more using the service and whatever.
Well, and the reason that I'm worried about kind of put the... what's the name of that game? The Outer Worlds off to the side. The only reason I'm worried about The Outer Worlds is because that's a Microsoft published title. That's not going anywhere.
Right.
And so I've kind of like, all I have left on that is DLC, and I'm like, I can play that anytime because it's not going anywhere. Everything else you have to pay attention to.
Yep.
And I think it's fantastic because, you know, if you start something and you don't finish it, well, then you're hooked and you have to go pay for it.
Yep.
So, and so it works for everybody.
Yep, for sure. We mentioned EA in there with the sports stuff. Just really quick note on EA and Game Pass. It's officially, the EA games are officially on Game Pass for PC now. They've been on consoles for a little while, but there was a little bit of delay for them getting on PC. Now they're on PC. And so now, you've got on PC, you've got Bethesda titles, you've got EA titles, and plus all the Microsoft titles and the other titles that they've pulled up there. It's just a massive catalog of some really, really good
games.
To get those, do
you pay for EA access?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It's all part of Game Pass now.
See, so that's mind-bending.
It's crazy. Yeah,
I'm not going to play a sports game on my PC. I'm just not. but the fact that it's there, I love.
Yeah, I do too. And I've started playing a lot more PC games with a controller, which is not something that I've done a ton of in the past, just because I've always played console games with a controller. But believe it or not, the Stadia controller, I don't have Stadia anymore, but I still have their controller, is a really pretty decent controller, so I use it all the time for PC games. So anyway, neither here nor there. Really quick, one more thing. Microsoft is in talks to acquire somebody. That somebody is Discord, believe it or not, which is not a game publisher or developer or anything like that, but is a very, very big player in the game world because of their group chat and all the stuff that they can do with that. And it's even more to Microsoft's focus of this kind of gaming service thing as opposed to just putting out games and putting out hardware, that they want to be part of every aspect of how you play games, not just the games you're playing, but how you're talking to each other while you're playing games and how you interact outside of games and everything else. So they'll probably screw it up. honestly, I've never liked Discord anyway. I have used Discord more recently, but it just... Eh.
So they bought Skype and Skype went to crap. Like, Skype still works, but Skype is not what Skype was back in the day.
Yeah. I wonder a little bit about that, if it's Skype went to crap or they just didn't keep up. Because that, to me, feels a little bit more like it. Like, there's just better services that have come out, and they haven't kept up with the better services. And so we kind of remember the glory days. Either way, they haven't done great with Skype, in my opinion, either.
Right. And I don't like Discord either, but I have to use it every day for my work stuff. So I despise it with a passion. That's why we don't have a Discord server, because I'm not there and you're not there and we're not going to be there because we don't like it. Well, I'm there.
Right.
So if we had a Discord server, you could find me because I'm there.
Which I'm pretty sure we actually do. I see it every once in a while, but nobody's on it. It's not a thing. It's, you know, just sitting there vacant.
So here's why I do the Jamie and Tommy Gaming Uncensored thing. We have a Discord server. If somebody wants to run it, raise your hand and tell us you want to run it.
Right.
Because we'll have a community on Discord if somebody else wants to do it. We have no interest, but we can give you access to the server. There is a server there. If you would like to have a Discord community and you're smart enough to run it, let us know. Send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, because we don't care.
Absolutely.
So, yes.
All that said, that was all the Microsoft stuff. Let's talk a little bit about PlayStation and several things going on. Nothing huge major here, but a handful of things in PlayStation world that are worth mentioning. Because we've been talking about Game Pass so much, let me just mention the PlayStation Plus games for April. So these are the games you get if you are subscribed to PlayStation Plus. Days Gone, which you already brought up, is coming to PC as well, which is a pretty big deal. Also is one of the games for April for PlayStation Plus. But the other one is Oddworld Soulstorm, which I missed this. Apparently this was known. I just didn't realize it. But this is the launch. This is the release of the new Oddworld game that they've been hyping since the first PlayStation 5 event. It's going to be on PlayStation Plus at launch. You don't have to pay extra for it. And I'm not like a massive Oddworld fan, but I dug the game back in the day and was interested enough in this one that I was like, one day when that comes to PlayStation Plus, I'll play it. Not ever thinking that it was going to be day one that it was coming to PlayStation Plus. And so Sony is really being aggressive with PlayStation Plus. Final Fantasy VII Remake last month, after they did this big announcement about all the stuff that they're adding to it and everything else. And so they're being really aggressive with the use of PlayStation Plus. They don't have anything on the level of Game Pass. But they also put out a bunch, like, what, 10 free games that you don't even need a PlayStation Network membership to access, one of which is Horizon, which is massive. But some other really good stuff, The Witness and a bunch of other stuff in there. And so you can find free games on PlayStation. Little more work, not as convenient of a package as Game Pass is, but there's some really, really good software there as too.
Yeah, it's crazy how many games we've got to play. And that's why I feel bad about playing The Witcher at this point. But we have Cyberpunk in the show, so I guess this is where we can talk about that. I got into The Witcher because I wanted to play a CD Projekt game, and I don't regret that. You know, I couldn't play Cyberpunk, wasn't going to pay $60 for Cyberpunk, because it'll be on Game Pass in like 10 minutes. So I just decided I wasn't going to do that and picked up The Witcher. So I sort of feel bad because I feel like I'm doing the Jamie Jordan thing, but I also don't, because it's awesome and I'm glad I finally made myself pick that up. Yeah, so
that's fair. I'll also mention here the new PlayStation VR controllers. And so we talked a little bit about the fact that PlayStation VR is going to have a next-gen version on PlayStation 5, almost certainly not until sometime next year. But they have released a picture and some details about the controllers, which is kind of fun. And so if you want to see what those look like, go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, or I may throw a picture of them up here on the video if you're watching on Patreon. They're kind of weird because they like are this kind of sphere thing that like totally surrounds your hand. But other than that, very similar to like the Oculus controller, just bigger, but the same kind of design.
Yeah.
But with the haptic feedback and the adaptive triggers like the DualSense controller has, which is amazing and makes total sense in VR. And so excited to see something about what PlayStation VR's future is going to be, because I think, again, that they're the only console that's trying to really do anything with VR. And so I want to see them do that because I love VR. I want to see more VR in the world. And so it'd be cool to see more of that from whoever. And right now it happens to be Sony that's doing that.
I'm happy about that. And we need to get some of that Sony VR gear. We just do.
For sure.
On the list of stuff that we need to buy, that's high up there.
Yes. One more Sony thing. There's a couple other things in the show notes, gamingcensored.com, that I'm skipping over. But one more thing I'll mention just here because I'm really interested in it. Sony is working on a Ghost of Tsushima movie with the guy who did John Wick, which just kind of sounds like the best. So typically I'm like, oh, game movie, meh. But that gets me a little more interested.
Have you seen all three of the John Wick movies?
I've seen the first two. I haven't seen the third one. I think that's right. Yeah.
Man, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. They're great. And again, it feels like Ghost of Tsushima would fit very well into a similar kind of aesthetic, similar approach. Like make a samurai movie out of John Wick and be okay.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. Good idea. They'll probably screw it up.
Yeah, probably. But we can hope.
But yeah, great idea.
Yeah.
I gotta ask real quick because I know we're out of time.
Well, we got a few more things. So don't we got? Okay. I want to make sure we talk about E3 because that's a big bit of news.
Yeah.
So for everybody that's looking forward to E4 this year, want to make sure we calm your fears. There will be E4 this year because there will be E3 this year. Even if there wasn't E3, we'd still do E4. We'd make something up out of it like we did last year, and it was fun, which is basically what it's going to be this year. And so there was a rumor going around for a moment that E3 was going to happen. It was going to be all digital, and it was going to be behind a paywall, which obviously got a lot of people worried. So E3, the official Twitter for E3, officially put out a statement saying, we will do a digital event. It'll be free to all. There's not going to be a paywall, though. I don't think it would be the worst idea if they did have some stuff behind a paywall that's, you know, exclusive content or whatever, some bonus features or whatever. But most of what we expect from E3 is going to be like it was last year, a digital event that's doing stuff during that time.
It's funny because we're the cheapest people on the face of the planet. But that's one of those things. If they did that, yeah, we'd pay for it.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a no-brainer for us.
Like we would, and we are two of the cheapest people out there. But then if they decided to do that, we'd be like, "Yeah, here's our money."
Yeah.
So
100%. So if you do decide to do that, E3, we're here. We're gonna give you money. But regardless, it will be an event. They haven't released other details yet on it. So obviously, sometime in the summer, we'll see when it happens and all that kind of stuff. But we talked about this last year. I really kind of dug the digital event thing. There was something really nice about it for people who aren't there to be able to experience more of kind of the just excitement around the games and the stuff. Having a year under everybody's belt of doing pandemic stuff, I think we'll have better produced content this year. And the fact that we're getting to the point where people are kind of getting back to normal. I mentioned, I haven't said this. I got my first shot of the vaccine yesterday. So I'm super pumped because I'm on my way to being vaccinated. So are many, many other people. And so I think we'll also see a lot more of not people sitting in their living rooms. Like, you'll have press conferences where the teams are together and not like talking to each other over Zoom, which is a little weird. We do this every week. Whenever we do a show, we talk over this. We know what it is. But it is nice for those big press conferences to have a little bit more of a professional kind of feel to it. And so I think we're going to see kind of, the digital focus with a little bit higher quality on the production side this year, which I think might be the real sweet spot of not trying to make it work for, you know, 1,000 people in a room plus, you know, hundreds of thousands of people watching on a screen. Just focus on the screen and what everybody's happy. So I'm pretty pumped about it. That said, Gamescom is going to do a hybrid event, so they're going to do a little bit of both. But it is happening as well. They have confirmed that. Jeff Keighley is involved. He's going to produce the opening night of Gamescom, which he did last year. Should be a big deal. That happens in August. And so we'll have a summer of gaming stuff again. We'll see if Jeff Keighley does the like massive everything push like he did last year, which is just phenomenal. I've liked Jeff Keighley for a long time. But last year, that dude killed it.
When we started this show, I think we talked a lot of trash on Jeff. No more. That guy has absolutely earned my respect and will have it for the rest of my life. That he just, whatever it is that he gets paid to do, he does it well, and somebody needs to give him more. Like, I don't know how he does what he does. I don't know who's paying for that.
Yeah.
But whoever it is that's paying for that needs to give him more money.
I agree. That dude works hard. He puts together good stuff. He's not awful to watch on a screen. He's gotten much better. I do think there was a time where he was just a little bit more unbearable. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah.
I think he has really grown just as a kind of presenter and likable dude. And obviously in the industry is likable because he has like every connection in the world and is, you know, working all the time. And so, pretty pumped about that. There are a few other things in the show notes. I'll mention, you mentioned CD Projekt Red and Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is reconsidering their online multiplayer stuff, which, at this point, focus on getting that game fixed.
No!
But...
No!
I would be shocked if they don't try to do it at some point, because Grand Theft Auto Online is what it is, and Cyberpunk is a world that they think, I don't agree, but they think could be similar, that they think they could build an online world like Grand Theft Auto has. And Grand Theft Auto Online has just been a massive, massive success, which we also said no to at the time. And still, I've played it some. I try to go back to it every once in a while and get into it, and I just can't. It's just not my thing, as online stuff like that isn't usually my thing. But there's a whole bunch of people that it's their thing. It's a big, big deal. And so I don't think CD Projekt Red can pull it off.
I'm not saying no because it's not a good idea. I'm saying no because your game is broken.
Yes.
Your game is broken.
Which is...
fix your game and then we'll talk about online.
100%. And that's essentially what they're saying, which is good, but keep that focus. Fix your game. And get the game fixed and we'll see. But that game's never getting fixed. And so we won't get there.
I will say this. I did see, and it's not in the show notes, but I did see... which gives me some positivity that they're not about to get bought out. They bought somebody else out, and I can't, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the studio.
Yeah, some Canadian
but that
developer.
Just happened.
Yes, but you're right. Yeah. Yep. That they are still in acquisition mode and not being acquired mode, which you're right. There was a decent shot that Microsoft was going to come knocking on the door and say, hey, guys, we see you're down a little bit. Let's see if we can help you out here.
I actually responded on Twitter that I really like that, and I do. It's a good thing.
Yes,
so
for sure. I'll mention too on the game release side of things. I'm trying to just make sure there's not anything else here. An original sealed copy of Super Mario Brothers, the original NES game, sold for $660,000. So there's that.
Well, neither one of us have a copy that's sealed anywhere, but I'm really mad that I went through the teenage phase of sell my stuff to buy whatever the next thing was because I was broke. When we grew up, we didn't have any money. We're not joking. We didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Neither one of us had any money. And that was what we did, and now I hugely regret it.
For sure. Some of those things, probably nothing would have really made us anybody, but something possibly could have, and we missed that opportunity in there. Because, I don't have anything in any kind of quality, at least, to try to sell it. So That said, really quickly on releases, a couple of big releases. I mentioned Yakuza 6 on Game Pass. You can also find that on Steam. One I really wanted to point out is It Takes Two. This is the newest Hazelight game. Joseph Farah, we were talking about Jeff Keighley, who kind of made Joseph Farah famous at the Game Awards a couple of years ago. But this is the same guy that did the Prison Break game, A Way Out, and then
right.
Another buddy game. He does buddy games, right? This is the third of the buddy games that he's put out. Getting really good reviews. You can find that on Steam. What was over? Oh, Outriders, which was the other big one. So,
right.
Hi.
And look who it is.
Oh.
Look who it is. Hello, young lady.
Say hi.
I love that bow.
Turn up so you can
hear Jamie. Hello, babe. How are you?
Don't press those buttons over there. I've got the switcher sitting here on the table next to me. So now there's all that, these buttons she can press. The battery's dead at this far.
You press those buttons, babe. Yeah, well, we're good. We got a wrap before the battery dies.
Yeah,
so.
we're fine on that, apparently. But if,
that's a camera.
That is a camera.
What does it do?
It makes us show up right there.
Oh.
Do you see you?
Yeah.
With your big, pretty bow? That's from the camera.
I love that bow. It's fantastic.
My bow.
It's very pretty.
I like how she just comes in and totally takes over the camera. Like, I'm just not here anymore.
What does this one do?
I'll just be back here if you need anything.
What's that?
A battery.
Oh, what does it do?
I love your hair today. Work. Your hair is gorgeous today.
Is your hair gorgeous?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
There's a battery.
You look like you're ready for summertime. Hey, Genevieve, it's time to wrap the show. Are you ready to wrap the show?
Are we ready to wrap the show?
Mm-hmm.
You remember what you say?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
I know.
You know? Try it.
No.
Say weird.
Say.
No.
No? You're not going to do it?
Say, this is Gaming Uncensored, and we're... Say, we're out.
Can you say, we're out? Or spit on the camera. Either way.
Boys and girls, if you're not watching this,
we're just teasing.
Yeah.
Boys and girls, if you're not on Patreon, if you're not watching this, you're missing the party. This is Gaming Uncensored. That's Tommy and Genevieve. I'm Jamie Jordan, and we are out.
No.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.